Your thing is a powerful thing. Serving while suffering for the sake of Christ. Amen. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Amen. That's a mouthful. Serving while suffering for the sake of Christ. Context of that particular theme comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 23 through 29.
Yeah.
But I want to bring your attention to the end of that section.
All right.
Which actually occurs in chapter 12, verse number 10.
All right.
Just want to look at verse number 10, but we'll consider all of the context of what has been recorded in those previous verses.
Amen?
Because when you talk about suffering, you talk about serving, and it's done for the sake of Christ, means you got to have a right orientation, a right perspective regarding things. Amen? Hopefully you've had a moment to turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 12 and verse number 10. I want to read that to your hearing. And I'm going to ask if you would just stand with me for the reading. For those of you that are able, just stand with me for the reading of God's word. If you're not able, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. If you're strong enough. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10, reads this way from the King James Version. It says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak,
then
I am strong."
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Let's pray together before you sit down, if that's all right. Amen. Father, we thank you for the great privilege that you granted us today to gather together to worship you, to celebrate, God, your greatness, your goodness, your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for the occasion, God, that you have demonstrated in the life of this church, in the life of Pastor Tony and First Lady Kim, and keeping them, God, for 18 years. Father, we thank you, Lord, for every song of praise that has been lifted up, every word of scripture that has been read, every prayer, God, that has been prayed.
All right,
Jesus.
Now, Father, our hearts are ready to receive even more of your word.
Yes.
And so I present myself before you and say that, God, you are free to use me. Take out your red pen and delete anything that, God, I may have added that you didn't intend for me to say. And then, Father, insert anything, God, that I might have forgotten or ignored because I was too busy, God, trying to create my own script. We just want to hear from you. So make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Anoint me, God, with grace and with truth, that, God, it is your message that will be declared, so that, God, we, your people, will be encouraged and will be reminded that when we serve you, God, it is never in vain, but that you are always faithful. You will always meet us in our hour of need and do for us more than we expected. So preach, God, and have your way in this place. In Jesus' name. The people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, the book of Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul.
All right.
And Paul's ministry began with suffering. That's how his ministry started, was with suffering. And as a result, he was blessed then to have a healthy perspective and orientation regarding suffering. You remember in Acts chapter 9 when Paul was on the road to Damascus to bring about some injustice and to bring about some havoc in the lives of believers, that he was met by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus met him, Jesus slapped him off his donkey.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 It's in the Bible. Go read it. It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
So he met him because he needed to get his attention.
Come on.
And when he fell off of his donkey, he realized that something happened when he hit the ground.
All right.
For his eyes were open, but he could not see.
Watch out, man.
All right.
He had been struck with blindness.
Yes.
Jesus told him, you go ahead and you go into the city.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send somebody to talk to you, to pray for you, and to help you. Ananias, the man who was in the city, was a praying man who belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and Jesus began to talk to Ananias and said to Ananias, Saul just experienced me, and it wasn't good for him. And I need you to go and open up his eyes so he can see.
Yeah.
Come on, Red.
And you remember the words of Ananias. Ananias said, but Lord.
Yes, sir.
The word is out on that brother.
Sure.
He's a mean, vicious brother, and he is on his way here to do damage to those of us that love you.
Come on. Yes, sir.
And the Lord reminded Ananias, don't you know that I see all things, that I know all things, and that nothing ever surprises me?
Yes.
Don't you worry about Saul. You just go do what I said.
That's all right.
Ananias said, yes, Lord.
Amen.
And then the Lord spoke these words to Ananias. He said, go.
Go.
This man is my chosen instrument.
That's right.
To proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. Watch this. Watch this in verse 16. It says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.
That's all right.
See, Paul had a healthy perspective and orientation toward suffering. Unfortunately, many of us enter into this walk with God with an unrealistic view toward suffering. Frankly, we don't want anything to do with suffering. Amen. And we organize our theology to suggest and say that suffering has no place in the life of a believer. Because the moment suffering comes into a person's life, we start trying to pray it off, and we start trying to cast it off, and we start trying to say the devil is busy. Because in our minds, suffering has no place in the life of the believer. But Jesus warned his disciples, that he said, in this world,
you will have trouble.
Yes.
John 16 and 33, he says, listen, I have told you these things. He had given them some advice. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace.
Yes.
Trouble is not intended to disturb your peace. He just wanted to let you know trouble gonna come your way.
Yes, sir.
This world, you will have trouble. But then he says, take heart.
That's the good news.
Ooh, ain't that good news? Take heart. Ooh, in the midst of trouble. Take heart. Take heart.
Yes, sir.
He says, I have overcome
yes, sir.
The world in your trouble.
Thank you.
My. Thank you. And so suffering then becomes a part of the human experience. And just because you are in the body of Christ, just because you are a child of God, just because you love him with all your heart, does not exempt you from
Hallelujah.
See, suffering is more than just trouble. Everybody got a little trouble, but when we start talking about suffering, we're talking about a little bit more than trouble. See, suffering has to do with both duration and intensity. So it's not just trouble, it's dealing with the duration of the trouble. Or it's dealing with the intensity of the trouble. Suffering is having to deal with trouble over a prolonged period of time. Suffering is being under tremendous pressure. It could be for a short period of time.
All right.
But that's suffering.
Yeah.
Duration and intensity.
Yes, sir.
God wanted me to stop by and just remind us today that you and I are not exempt.
Watch it.
That's right.
From having to deal with some issues for prolonged periods of time.
That's right.
You and I are not exempt from having to deal with some intense struggles from time to time. Listen. Just as suffering was in God's plan for Jesus, suffering was also in God's plan for Paul.
All right.
And yep, you knew I was going to say this.
Come on.
Suffering is also,
in
God's plan.
All right.
You don't even want me to finish.
Finish it.
You already know. It's already for every individual that accepts the gift of salvation offered through the suffering of Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered.
Yes, he did.
So he says, well,
you're
going to have to suffer.
Amen.
See, I just want us to be oriented. I want us to have a right perspective about suffering.
All right.
Because only when you have a right perspective about suffering can you deal with suffering the right way. If you got a wrong perspective about suffering, you're trying to use the wrong stuff to deal with your suffering. But when you have a right orientation about suffering, you can apply the right medicine. So I'm just trying to help us get oriented. Get oriented around suffering. Jesus suffered. Why do I think I wouldn't have to? Isaiah 53 talks about the suffering of Jesus, where it says that he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Look at this. He was despised.
Yeah, there it is.
and rejected by mankind. He was a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one who, from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. We held him in low esteem. Watch this good news. It says, surely he took up our pain. And bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced. Why? For our transgressions. He was crushed. Why? For our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Oh, you better get this part right here.
All right,
And by his wounds, my. We are healed. So his suffering brought something for you and for me. He didn't suffer in vain. And so if you and I then are going to suffer like Christ, what you need to know is that your suffering, hallelujah, won't be in vain. Your prolonged wait won't be in vain. Let your dealing with the pressure and the intensity of it won't be in vain. Let me tell you, something is going to come out of something is going to come out of your suffering. First Peter chapter 2 verses 21 and 25 remind us that because Christ suffered, he is leaving for you and me an example that we too must follow in his steps. All I'm trying to remind you is that, you know what? We've all been called to suffer. Amen. And if you and I are to finish what the journey, if we are to endure until the end, we've got to have a right view about suffering. And we need to make sure that we do like it said in James chapter 1. I love the way it is put in the Phillips translation. He says, don't call your trials, don't call your suffering, don't call it intruders, but welcome your trouble. Welcome your trials. Welcome it like friends. He said, don't get mad when stuff come your way. Recognize that God is getting ready to do some stuff for you. Says when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your life, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they have come to test your faith and to produce in you quality of endurance. So again, brothers and sisters, you and I are going to have to suffer. But I've got good news for you.
Good news, man. Come on.
Suffering serves God's purpose.
That's right.
All right.
Amen. All right.
All right.
Psalm 119, verse 91 says, all things serve God.
Yes.
That includes suffering. Are you familiar with Romans chapter 8? I know y'all quote that all the time. For all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who have been called according to his purpose. Suffering serves God's purpose. It's not that suffering has the liberty to come into your life and do what it wants to do. Even though you've got to deal with some issues for a prolonged period of time, sometimes with great intensity, it is all intended for God's purpose to be fulfilled in your life. Well-known preacher, teacher, theologian Chuck Charles Swindoll once said that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. 10% what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. He was trying to emphasize The fact that while external events are uncontrollable, our response, our attitude significantly shapes our experience as we go through it. So suffering serves God's purposes. When you and I have to undergo suffering, you can be assured that God is going to get something out of it.
Yeah.
I know you think I'm making this up. Let me call a witness. I gotta call a witness. No, so it's like, you know, it's gotta be affirmed by at least two or three witnesses. I need to call a witness. Just ask Joseph. Because God used Joseph's suffering to prepare him to be the prime minister of Egypt. Joseph had a dream, but he also had some haters. And while God gave the dream, the haters gave the trouble. And Joseph's response to the trouble, his suffering, made all the difference in the world. Because it does not matter whether Joseph was in chains and shackles. It does not matter whether Joseph went down in the pit. It does not matter whether Joseph found himself falsely accused. It does not matter whether Joseph had to be thrown in the prison. The Bible says that God was with him. And along the way, what you and I discover is that Joseph never allowed his external circumstances to impact his view of who God was. And while God is working through the trouble, and while Joseph is suffering, he's developing him to rise to the second in power and to do a work that God had ordained. Listen to Joseph's response to his brothers who did him wrong when he tried to help them understand that they thought they were in charge, but no. They ain't in control of nothing. Their dad had just died and they were scared that because Joseph was second in command that now that daddy is gone, Joe gonna get us. Daddy gone, now Joe gonna pull out the belt and Joe gonna whip us for what we did. So they sent to Joe and said, Daddy said, before he died, Daddy said. God had already prepared Joe's heart because Joe understood what was happening. Listen to what he says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. He says, you intended to harm me. See that? You already there. You brought trouble with the intention to mess me up. See, that's what trouble does. Trouble by your enemies. Trouble comes to try to hurt you because what? The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Joe said, You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He said, it was to accomplish what is now being done, saving of many lives.
Thank you, Lord.
Brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you that you and I may have to suffer. But remember this, suffering serves God. It serves God's purpose.
Amen.
Now you know I could call some more witnesses. I told Job to stay over there. Job, you stay over there. We'll only call you Job if we need you. Job, if they're not convinced, that suffering serves you, then we'll pull you out. But Job, if they act like they know and that they understand that suffering serves God, Job, we'll leave you in the bullpen. We'll leave you in the bullpen.
Yeah.
We'll wait. Hallelujah. So suffering. Serves God's purposes. The final thing that I want to remind you of is this, is that you are being refined by your suffering.
I like that.
Amen.
Amen.
You are being refined by your suffering. The Bible does not present God as a genie in a bottle.
You're right.
Who grants your wish?
Well.
Just because you found
it. Just because you found
it. Can't rub it. Puff of smoke come out and you're able to make your wish. That is not how the Bible presents God.
Yes, sir.
However, the Bible does talk about him as a potter.
All right.
With the liberty to shape.
Come on. Yes, sir.
You as he sees.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
The Bible does picture God as a refiner who purifies and removes the dross or the unuseful parts of your life. It presents God as the one who says, I knew you while you were yet in the womb. I know what purposes I have for your life, and I know what it's going to take to get the best out of you and to shape you into the person that I created you to be. So when we get back and we look at the Apostle Paul, God knew Paul while he was yet when he was a scoundrel, when he was a rascal, when he was misinterpreting the word of God, when he did not fully understand that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, who came that we might have life. God still knew Saul. God knew the right amount of pressure to apply to Saul's life so that Saul could become the man to write 16 letters.
Come on.
To the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
Saul became the man who we would know as Paul, who would become the apostle to the Gentiles. And it was in his suffering that God shaped him and molded him and made him such that he loved God, he loved Jesus, and he loved God's people called the church. And it is in chapter 11 and chapter 12 where Paul begins to share with us some of the experiences about his suffering. And he said, I had to write these things because there were a group of people in Corinth who was forgetting the suffering that I had endured. That they had allowed somebody else to sneak in and began to tell them about another Jesus. They had allowed somebody else to sneak in and tell them something different than what I had communicated when the Spirit of God sent me. So Paul began to enumerate the difficulties that he had experienced in his life.
Yes, sir.
Hey, bear with me for just a moment. Because Paul said in the process of him talking about what he had been suffering, he said, it's foolish for me to do this, but it's necessary. Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't be talking about my sufferings because you would think it as boasting, but because of your position right now, I need to tell you about how God used suffering in my life so that I can love you the way you need to be loved. So he says, bear with me for just a moment while I look a little foolish. Bear with me for a moment while I read my own press clippings. Several times in the process, he just shakes his head and he said, man, this is nonsense. He said, I don't want to do this, but I got to do this.
Yeah.
Listen, he says, I am speaking as a fool. But you're making me act like this. He says, I'm out of my mind to talk like this.
Wow.
You're making me act like this.
All right.
Listen to what he says. He says, are they servants of Christ? He said, I am more. He said, I've worked much harder.
Yeah.
He's getting ready. He's talking about his suffering. I've been in prison more frequently. He's talking about his suffering.
Yeah.
Listen.
Come on now.
You know how we talk about suffering, right?
Right.
When we don't have the conveniences of life.
Watch out now.
Hey,
we call that suffering. You go to the freezer because you don't have filet mignon and all you got is a pork chop. You're talking about you suffering. Open up your closet. I'm going to stop. Open up your closet.
Glory to God.
And because your clothing ain't got the right label, you suffer. And you got something to put on your back. You got something to cover your neck in this. And it fits. And listen. But because it ain't got the right label, I'm suffering. Got a vehicle in your driveway. Not a carriage, not a horse and buggy. You got a vehicle with a motorized engine. But because you looked across the street and saw that your neighbor, Lord Jesus, was driving something more shiny than you, all of a sudden, you suffer. You suffer. You healthy.
Thank you, Lord. But lazy.
And when the alarm clock goes off, it says that it's time for us to gather at the house of the Lord. I had to work all week. You suffer. Lord God, that has given you breath and life and strength to go to the job that He gave you, ride in the vehicle that He gave you, on the gas that He provided for you. Able to drive with the eyesight that He gave you, and you too late.
You in there?
Talking about
suffering,
Suffering. That's all right. Let it breathe. Let it breathe.
Paul said, "Let me help you understand what suffering is." He said, I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger danger from my own countrymen. In danger, danger, danger.
Yeah.
Paul said, now that's
that's all right.
My God.
He doesn't say that to minimize the suffering that you that's and I experience. Right. He said that so you and I can have a right perspective about our suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
A right perspective about our suffering.
Right. Yeah.
When Paul finishes unpacking all some of the suffering that he had experienced, he went on to close with the verse that we read.
All right. All right.
Verse number 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
My God.
He says, that is why.
That is why.
For Christ's sake.
All right.
I delight. Mm-hmm. I take pleasure in weakness.
Yeah.
Come on.
I take pleasure. I delight in insults. I take pleasure. I delight in hardships.
My Lord.
All right.
My Lord.
I take pleasure. I delight.
I delight
in persecution.
Yes, right. Yes.
I take pleasure. I delight in calamities and trouble. He says the reason I take pleasure in these things is because when I see them coming, when they enter into my sphere, when they show up, that means that the power of God is going to show up somewhere in my experience. He says that when trouble comes my way, when calamity comes my way, when hardships come my way, look out, here comes Jesus.
Yeah.
He says that when it presses up against me, that when it wears me out, when it's around for a prolonged period of time, or when the intensity is so strong that I become weak, he says that's when I become strong. Because now I'm no longer leaning into my own strength and my own power, but now I'm remembering that I need the Lord to deliver me. So he says, I delight in these things, but when I am weak, that's when I am strong.
Yes. All right.
Pastor Tony, First Lady Kim, as I take my first step to my seat.
Bless you.
You like that?
Yeah.
I take my first step. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
I take my first step to my seat. I want to remind you that whatever suffering that you've experienced over this time of serving God's people.
Yeah.
Has not been in vain.
That's right.
Thank you, sir.
In fact, because you stayed the course, your suffering matured you.
Glory
to God.
Because that's what suffering does, right?
Yeah.
If you persevere, it'll grow you up. Your suffering was growing you up.
Bless you.
You need to know that you had to grow up so that you could be ready to rightfully manage some of the stuff that God wants to entrust in your life.
All right, glory to God.
You can't give an immature person stuff before they're ready. That's why if a good parent, as a good parent, you want to make sure that if you have an inheritance for your kids, that you also have a trust waiting for them just in case you leave early. You don't want them getting all that stuff and they ain't ready. Amen. Your suffering has been one of the tools that God has been using to get you ready. To get you ready. And what I like about year 18, God says it's time to let you go. Time for you to be set free and do the things that he has anointed you to do. I'm trying to get to my seat. Help me out. In Luke chapter 13, you remember there was a woman who was in the synagogue one day, and she had been suffering with this condition for 18 long years. In fact, the word of God says she had been bent over for 18 long years. She had been suffering for 18 long years. Then on that day in the synagogue, on that day, Jesus just happened to be there. And when Jesus saw that woman bent over in that condition and he saw her sufferings, Jesus spoke to her and declared his word over her life. He spoke a truth to her and he said, your infirmities are released. Straighten up and walk right.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's good.
Straighten up.
See, so she had endured this condition for a long period of time. That's suffering, right?
Yeah.
And at the appointed time, Jesus spoke a word in her life, and she was released from her infirmity.
Yeah.
God has said you've been faithful. You've been served. And there are some things that have been in your way.
Thank you.
But he said, don't worry. I've seen them and I have used them so that you could get ready to do what I've called you to do.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. He says, whatever you do, remain faithful. Remain faithful to the task at hand.
Amen.
Listen, as I take my second step to my seat, I'm almost there.
I'm just two steps away.
As I take my second step to my seat, I'm going to need your help to get me there.
All right.
I'm going to need your help to get me. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to Talk Radio, one of the sports shows. And Coach Pat Jones played a clip. Got my attention.
All right.
A coach by the name of Jeff Munkin, who used to coach at Army. He's now coaching at a different place. He played this clip of them in the locker room after the game.
Yeah.
Coach had them doing this chant. The chant went something like this. I'm gonna fight till I can't fight no more.
All right.
And when I can't fight no more, I'm gonna lay down and bleed a while. And when I'm done bleeding, I'm gonna
get up.
And I'm gonna fight some more.
Right.
You like that?
Huh?
That's a warrior stand. He says, I'm gonna fight. Till I can't fight no more. And when I can't fight no more, I'm gonna lay down and bleed a while. And when I'm done bleeding,
hallelujah,
I'm gonna get up
and
fight
some more.
I like that. And so I got a chant for us.
All right.
That you gotta help me with.
All right. We got you.
Because it's important that you and I approach suffering the right way.
Yeah.
We approach suffering, know that suffering is not in control. Suffering does not have authority. Suffering serves God.
Yes.
And even though suffering might last longer than you wanted to, it does not endure forever.
That's right.
So when you and I are experiencing suffering, especially when we're suffering for serving God, we've got to have the right set of tools, the right thing in our mouth, the right thing in our heart, and on our mind.
Right.
So I want you to help me with this chant.
All right.
So that I can sit down.
All right. We got
Paul said, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. And so when weaknesses come, you got to say, I won't stop. I won't quit. I'll trust in the Lord and wait on him. That's pretty good, that's pretty good. Y'all did all right that first round. We got a couple more. We're going to get it right. We're going to get it right. Paul says, I delight in insults. So when insults come, I won't stop.
I won't
quit.
I won't quit.
I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord
and wait on him.
And wait on him.
My. He says, I delight in hardships. So when hardships come, I won't stop. I won't quit.
I
will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord
and wait on him.
And wait on him.
That's my we get there. He says, I delight in persecution. When you're being persecuted, boy, you got to have the right thing. If you ain't got the right thing, you might turn around and try to respond. But remember the chant. When persecutions come, I won't stop. I won't quit.
I will trust in the Lord
and wait on him.
Oh, glory. Glory.
Yes. Then he says, I delight in difficulties.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so when difficulties come, what you gonna say?
I won't stop. I won't quit. I will trust in the Lord and wait on him. Amen.
For he who waits up on the Lord shall renew his strength. Not get weary. Wait, I say. Wait on the Lord. I won't stop. I won't quit.
I will trust in the Lord
and wait on him.
All right.